وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
When you are weak and the road seems long, remember, just remember, seek strength from the strong. When life is a burden and everything is unstable, remember, just remember, Allah is the able. When nothing makes sense and you're heading for demise, remember, just remember, Allah is the wise. When the way is cloudy and there's no one by your side, remember, just remember, Allah is the only guide. When your heart is breaking and your pain makes you fall, remember, just remember, Allah sees it all.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulillah. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to the first in our series, In the Names of Allah. This series, we're intending in this series to look at the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to our lives. Not merely to understand them, because of course it is important to understand them, but to understand how we may apply these names in our lives. And the basic verse that we are using as the theme for the overall program is a verse in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 180, in which Allah says there, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. The most beautiful names belong only to Allah, so call on Him with them. So we have Allah instructing us, giving us very clear instructions with regards to His names, that we should use them in our prayer and in our worship. Now Ibn al-Qayyim, he pointed out that making supplication with Allah's names has two levels. The first level is called supplication of praise and worship. The second level is called supplication of requesting and asking. Now when we go to the first level, this basically is a consequence of Allah's instruction to His creatures to glorify and praise Him frequently. As He said in Surah Al-Ahzab, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اُذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. O believers, remember Allah often and glorify His praises morning and evening. And we also have a statement from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in which he quoted Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying, because no one is more jealous than Allah, He forbade public and private corruption. And because no one loves praise more than Allah, He praised Himself. So from that, we understand that this element of worshipping Allah through praising Him, this is an important element where we will also use Allah's names. I should clarify here though, that though Allah here said in this, Prophet Muhammad said with regards to Allah, that no one loves praise more than Allah, this doesn't mean that Allah needs praise. We don't want to be mistaken on this point. Allah doesn't need our praise. However, He is pleased with our praise because of the fact that when we praise Him, we are worshipping Him. And that's the very purpose of our creation. So when we praise Allah, a lot, Allah is very pleased with it because we are engaged actively in worshipping Him on a regular basis. The second level of worshipping Allah with His names, we said, was worshipping Him through supplications of request and asking. This second level is also a consequence of Allah instructing His creatures to call on Him in prayer and to ask Him their needs. As in the verse where Allah said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord said, call on me and I will answer you. So He has instructed us to call on Him. And as different from human beings, when people call on you too often, we're not happy with it. But in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves when His creatures call on Him often. So this is the second level. And according to Ibn al-Qayyim, one should ask for each and everything that one desires using the appropriate name for that request. So for example, we should say in our prayers, you know, ask directed to Allah, saying, forgive me, O Allah, have mercy on me, because you are the oft forgiving, the most merciful. Al-Ghafoor, Al-Rahim. So we use those names while calling and requesting Allah's forgiveness and His mercy. And this we can also find in statements of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for example, where he said that when we finish our prayers, our daily prayers, we should seek forgiveness of Allah, saying, Astaghfirullah. Then we should supplicate, saying, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. O Allah, you are peace, and peace comes from you. May you be blessed, owner of glory and grace. Now, Ibn al-Qayyim further mentioned that for every one of Allah's attributes, there is a particular act of worship which results from it, and which is necessitated by it. And this is what we will be researching as we go through the various names of Allah. I should mention here also that Allah instructs the believers in our first verse that we spoke of, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. He instructs them to worship Him through His most beautiful names. But in practical terms, what we're talking about here is that the believer dedicates his life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his knowledge or her knowledge of the names of Allah, the significance of those names relative to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the effect that those names should have on us as believers. We link these two things together because of the fact that Allah said, worship Him using His names. And at the same time, He also told us, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, indeed my prayers, my sacrifices, my living and my dying are for Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. So that basically identifies the goal of the believer as turning his or her life in its entirety into the worship of Allah. So this life that we're talking about is a life which should be led in the glory of Allah's names, in the light of that glory. Now, if we go on to the status of knowledge concerning Allah's beautiful names, because we have a general instruction from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to knowledge, and that is talabul ilmi farida ala kulli muslim, seeking knowledge is compulsory for every Muslim. It's a general principle. And we know that knowledge begins with the most important knowledge, knowledge of the religion. But the knowledge of the religion is vast. So where do we start? And when I say it begins with knowledge of the religion, I'm not, you know, negating knowledge of the needs of this world. There are things that we need to know to be able to function in this world. And that's part of the obligatory knowledge on every Muslim, that he or she must learn what is necessary for them to be able to effectively function in a society, be able to contribute in that society towards its development and its growth, etc. But there is an individual obligation, a primary obligation, which begins with that individual and his or her relationship with God. So that's the religious knowledge. So we said, where do we start with religious knowledge? Well, of course, we know that the foundation of our knowledge is that of Tawheed. This is the essence of Islam. This is where it all starts from. So if that is the foundation, Tawheed, even this science, this field of knowledge, is a vast field of knowledge, Tawheed in itself, is still quite vast. Where do we start with regards to it? Well, there's a general principle that scholars have identified, that the status of an area of knowledge is determined by its contents. The status of an area of knowledge is determined by its contents. So if the contents are about Allah, Tawheed, this makes that area of knowledge, since Allah is the most important thing in our lives, the most important matter that we should be concerned about, then we can say that this area of knowledge is the most important. And within that area of Tawheed, knowledge of Allah Himself, as opposed to knowledge of worship and how worship should take place, knowledge of Allah Himself has to precede. This has to be our starting point. So we can say without any hesitation that what is known as knowledge of Allah's names and attributes, this is the most important area of knowledge. If we are to know Allah and worship Him, then this is where we have to start. And if we can remember, when Allah informed the angels that He was going to create a vicegerent in the earth, a Khalifa, and they questioned the consequence of the creation of man on earth, having observed the consequence of the creation of the jinn, they saw corruption, they saw the spilling of blood, they saw harm coming out of it. So they asked Allah, when you have us worshipping you, why create this other being who is likely to create corruption? So Allah informed them that He knew what they didn't know. And then He taught Adam the names of everything. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. And of course, the names which Allah began to teach Adam was, of course, beginning naturally with the names of Allah. Because what are the most important names of anything? Of anything in existence, the most important names must be naturally the names of Allah themselves. And what we find is that when we look at the verses of the Quran, which verse is considered to be the greatest verse of the Quran? That is the verse known as Ayatul Kursi. Why? Why is Ayatul Kursi considered to be the greatest? Because it focuses on the names of Allah. There is a particular narration which confirms that, which was narrated by the companion Ubay ibn Ka'b, and he had said that the Messenger of Allah had asked him, "O Abu al-Munzir," and that was his nickname, "do you know which verse of Allah's book is greatest relative to you?" Because obviously relative to Allah, they're all the same. "I replied," said Ubay ibn Ka'b, "Allah and His Messenger know best. He asked me again, 'O Abu al-Munzir, do you know which verse of Allah's book is greatest relative to you?' So, at this point, he responded saying, 'Allah, there is no God but He, the ever-living, the self-subsisting.'" And the Prophet ﷺ then patted his chest and said, "May knowledge always be pleasant for you, O Abu al-Munzir." This is Ayatul Kursi. Also, in the Quran, we have the surah known as Surah Al-Tawheed or Surah Al-Ikhlas, that this surah has been identified as being equivalent to one third of the Quran in a number of narrations from the Prophet ﷺ. And why is that? If we look at Surah Al-Ikhlas, what we're talking about here is Allah's names and His attributes, clarifying who is Allah. So we can see from that the focus of the Quran itself with regards to its greatest verses, the greatest chapters, is a focus on the names and attributes of Allah. Because when we talk about Allah's names, each name has behind it an attribute. So this is why we have to consider the meaning of Allah's names also from that perspective. Having understood that, as we said, that our program will focus on the names of Allah and how they may be understood with regards to Allah, and how we may practice them in our lives, we have a particular hadith in which Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had identified a number of names of Allah. This is the hadith commonly referred to as the 99 names of Allah, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna lillahi tis'atan wa tis'een asman, man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah." Indeed, Allah has 99 names. Whoever counts them will enter paradise. And usually all of the various compilations, etc., of Allah's names are done on the basis of this hadith. There are narrations of this hadith wherein the names are actually listed. However, I should point out here that those narrations are in fact not authentic. There is no authentic narration in which all 99 names or 99 names are identified. We just have the general statement of the Prophet ﷺ in which he tells us that whoever counts these names or guards them or memorizes them, different narrations have different implications, then they will go to paradise. Now, when we say 99 names, we should understand that the 99 is not a limitation. It doesn't mean that Allah has only 99 names. Just as if I said, "My brother has $99. It doesn't mean that that's all he has. It may be what he has on him at the time, etc. So similarly, when the Prophet ﷺ said Allah had 99 names, it doesn't mean that it is only that number. Especially considering that there is an authentic narration from the Prophet ﷺ in which he said, he taught us to pray, "O Allah, I ask you by every name belonging to you, which you named yourself. or you revealed in your scripture, or you taught one of your creatures, or you kept with yourself exclusively in the hidden knowledge. So here the Prophet ﷺ told us in our dua to ask Allah, make dua to Allah using his names, based on the names which he revealed in the scripture, that is like the Quran. And you taught one of your creatures, that is like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have the Quran and the Sunnah. But then he mentions also another category, a category of names which have not been revealed, which he has kept to himself. So on the basis of that, scholars concluded that the number 99 was not intended as a limiting number, that in fact Allah's names are more than that. Whatever he has revealed to us in the Quran and Sunnah, by the counts of various scholars, actually exceeds that. We have a Maliki scholar by the name of Abu Bakr al-Arabi. He mentioned in his book called Al-Ahwadi fi Sharh al-Tirmidhi that some scholars gathered from the Quran and Sunnah over 1,000 names of Allah. So we understand from that the number 99 is not an intended number as a limitation, but that what was the stress of the hadith is that whoever learns these, protects them, guards them, counts them, understands them, such a person will be guaranteed paradise. So that really is the goal of the hadith, that for us to acquaint ourselves to at least 99 of Allah's names. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam promises us for that paradise. And that is something worth giving time, giving effort to. And of course, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us that as an instruction, he gave us that because there was benefit in it for us. Even if we don't achieve learning of the full 99 and giving them their full right in terms of understanding and application in their lives, etc. But just the quest, just the journey, just the effort to try to reach there will be something beneficial for us. Because we're dealing with applying the names of Allah in our lives. And if Allah is all good and all goodness, and the source of all goodness, then for us to put his names into our lives, to live in accordance with those names, it can only be goodness for ourselves. Now, if we go back to this hadith and what it actually means, as I said, the literal translation of it was, indeed Allah has 99 names, whoever counts them will enter paradise. But there is another narration in which the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has 99 names, one less than 100. Whoever guards them will enter paradise. That is, لَا يَحْفَظُهَا أَحَدٌ إِلَّا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ So we have the term count, we have the term guard. As a result, scholars looking at this concluded that of course, anybody, even a person who doesn't believe in God, could count the names. They could find a list, which is an authentic list, and count them. Counting that, those names, surely this is not what the intent is. How is a person going to go to paradise on the basis of that? Merely counting the names. As a result, we find that the scholars explained that this really meant to act in accordance with them, to understand their meanings, and to believe in them. That was Abu Nu'aym al-Asbahani. That was his position. Another scholar, al-Khattabi, he said it meant to count all of them and call on Allah with them, without excluding any. And to be able to fulfill the rights of the names and do deeds according to their implications. And thirdly, to understand their meanings. So, and a number of other scholars have spoken on this topic, and basically all of the conclusions that they came to are around the same understanding, that the intent is not the literal counting, but guarding them with regards to their meanings, knowing their meaning, not just memorizing the names, because we can teach a child to do that, and somebody who is a non-Muslim might do that also. But will that benefit them? No. The key here is understanding first, having knowledge. Knowledge is the foundation, as we said from the very beginning. We need to understand them. Having understood them, then we need to give them their right. What is the rights of Allah's names? The rights, first and foremost, is that we believe in Allah in accordance with those names. We believe in Allah in accordance with those names, because that will identify for us the correct way to believe in Allah. Allah revealed those names primarily for us to understand who He is, so that we don't mix up His creatures with Him, so we don't give the rights which are due to Him to His creatures, which is what has happened to so many people on the earth today, in the various religions and systems that are out there. People have confused Allah with His creation. They've given the rights which belong to Allah in terms of sincere belief and worship, they've given that over to His creatures. So the principle here is to understand those names, and then first and foremost to give Allah His right with regards to those names. That is to believe in Him in accordance with those names. Thirdly, it is to act in accordance with them, to put them into our own lives so that our lives reflect the names of Allah and become lives truly pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that, dear viewers, we're going to stop here, and I hope to see you in the next segment of our program, In the Names of Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
When you are weak and the road seems long, remember, just remember, seek strength from the strong. When life is a burden and everything is unstable, remember, just remember, Allah is the able. When nothing makes sense and you're heading for demise, remember, just remember, Allah is the wise. When the way is cloudy and there's no one by your side, remember, just remember, Allah is the only guide. When your heart is breaking and your pain makes you fall, remember, just remember, Allah sees it all. When you are weak and the road seems long, remember, just remember, seek strength from the strong. When life is a burden and everything is unstable, remember, just remember, Allah is the able. When nothing makes sense and you're heading for demise, remember, just remember, Allah is the wise. When the way is cloudy and there's no one by your side, remember, just remember, Allah is the only guide. When your heart is breaking and your pain makes you fall, remember, just remember, Allah sees it all.